Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's a little past time. We're going to get started. We wanted to give enough time for everybody to get in the room, get settled. If you didn't see, there are some donuts, cookies, and others, coffee at the far end of the room, so please make yourself comfortable. I want to say that we're here simply for the sole purpose of taking public testimony. That's what we're here to do tonight. We want to hear from you about where we're going, but prior to taking public testimony, we're going to take about 15 minutes and talk a little bit about the history, where we're at today, why, and some options going forward. And that's where we want your feedback, your input. I need to mention there's a difference between public testimony and public statements. So there are some forms up there at the table, and my staff, Jamie Jones, in the back of the room. Anybody that wants to submit official public testimony for the record needs to fill out one of them forms. It'll be taken back to Juneau, then recorded in the official registry. These comments are recorded and forwarded to the full finance meetings, but they're not part of the official documents, as my understanding goes. So to cover all bases, please make sure and submit the written public testimony. I want to thank Representative Johnson from South Anchorage for joining us. She's also Vice Chair of Finance, and Speaker Bryce Edgman, also from Dillingham area, is here to participate and to listen. And I want to thank them for being here. And I see so many friends in the room, people I served with over the years, from former House members Hal Smalley to Paul Seaton, and others, assembly members I serve with, my old borough clerk sitting right here in front of me, and I'm just pleased to see. Well, my former borough clerk, thank you for that correction. I was never gonna get out of that one. Assembly member Kelly Cooper, who I serve with, so many people, a city manager, Stephanie Queen, so many, I can't possibly name all of you. So thank you for being here. I see Tyson Cox with the city of Soldotna is here as well. Many others. So if I miss you, I apologize. I just can't possibly cover that many. But it was important for everybody to hear what we have to say, and more importantly, for everybody to hear what you have to say. And so with that, I'm going to get started. I got a few things to read to you, and then we're going to go over about a 3-slide presentation and kind of walk you through that. And then we're going to start the public testimony. I'm going to take public testifiers in the order they signed into the sheets right here. We have 3 seats. 3 of you are welcome to fill that, slide it forward. And the seats, the 5 seats up here, are reserved for the next group of speakers. I'll read them names off so you can just move forward and be ready. We are going to limit public testimony to 3 minutes because we have a lot of people to cover and try to get this done in a timely manner. I believe these two are heading back to Anchorage tonight for the same show tomorrow. With that, we'll get started. Okay, so I did the welcomes and I did the introductions best of my ability there. I did explain a little bit between the difference between the public comment and the written testimony. I also need to mention that Representative Edgman's Chief of Staff Emery behind the screen is here as well. So if you see her and you need some assistance with anything, grab her.
Just wait.
From our LIO office is Mary B. She's doing a lot of the recording and the timekeeping. So when you see her waving her hand, that means your 3 minutes has come and gone. So, okay, what else we got here? Public testimony forms, I said, are on the back table. We've got that. Broadcasting meetings. I will also mention that I think we're connected to Juneau LIO, and I believe Rep. Carpenter is in finance room watching. He is audio only. I'm not sure if we have any video of that. I'm not sure who is in the room with him. We haven't heard. But welcome Representative Carpenter if he is watching, listening. Okay, what else we got? I think we're moving on. So want to make a quick statement about the House Majority Coalition. The governor has stated numerous times he's waiting to see our plan, and And believe me, we do have a plan. We're working towards a plan. We're trying to get it finalized. But we have a plan, and part of our plan is no deficit spending and no robbing from savings. That's part of our plan. So as we get farther into this debate, the question will be more for you guys than for us, and it'll depend on your public feedback, is the amount of services we're going to provide and the amount of the size of dividends that you're going to receive. That's really where this conversation is going, and that is a reason for reaching out to all the public to get the feedback and the input. So that'll be the decision. That's what's driving us right now. What level of services do we provide? Can we afford to provide? And what level of dividends can we provide? And what's the public think is appropriate? So that's the reason we're here tonight. So. Okay, we got some stuff on these. Let me just review this stuff on these slides. And so we are, I can't see the screen, so I'm going to assume we got slide number one up there. And so what we're looking at on slide number one here is from territorial days, the blue on the far left, from territorial days to early statehood, Alaska paid for its state services with a broad mix of taxes, revenues from broad taxes on individuals, corporations, business taxes, resource taxes, and fees. That was from territorial days to early statehood. Then as the chart shows you, in about 1970, we had a lease sale. We earned about $900 million on that lease sale. And in today's dollars adjusted for inflation, that's about $4.75 billion worth of value. And so that's what happened in 1970. And then as we moved up into about 2013, about 37, 38 years, the primary source of all of our state revenue has been royalties and production taxes on the oil and gas industry, has supported about 85 to 90% of our entire state economy for almost 40 years and provided our dividends. And that's what that's showing. So so what's happened in that time frame is that production has fallen off. We're about a quarter right now going through the pipeline that used to be. We were about 2 million barrels a day. We're right at 500,000 a day, so about 25%. Obviously, everybody knew that prices have dropped dramatically since the spike started in about 2006 to 2008. They started to climb. There was a point there we were up to 100 and a quarter barrel, maybe 140. I talked about that a little bit back in 2010, 12, about how that was unsustainable, creating a false economy. And so here we are, 2018, and that's where we are. And it actually started about 2013 when we started spending down savings, prior legislative bodies started spending down savings. So we spent about 4 years exhausting about $17 billion in savings. And it brings us to where we are today. Now we are using what is a combination of revenues from production taxes, royalties, other forms of revenue, and earnings reserves from the permanent fund. That's what we did with the passage of SB 26 in 2017. I believe we passed that. And so we started using a portion. I think this is the first year we passed SB 26. The percent of market value concept, I think this is the first year we've had to make the draw from that. What's noticeable today is that that draw makes up about 57% of all the state revenue, about $2.9 billion today. Our other sources of revenue are, of course, oil and gas taxes, production taxes, and other forms of revenue. But the production tax royalties is only making up about a third of that number, and then the others are miscellaneous sources of revenue. So we've outpaced that. I think we get $2.1 billion from gas and oil leases and taxes royalties, and about $2.9 is what we now receive off our investments. It was a conscious choice that the legislator made. We discussed that a lot last year, knowing that when we talk about PFD dividends, and I'm straying from the script here a little bit because it's important that we go through this history recap of where we're at. But so way back in the days when the legislature come up with a formula to distribute dividends, they went on 50% of, and I see Representative Seaton here who knows this better than most, the fact it was a five-year look back at the total earnings of that fund, and that's what was distributed, 50%. I think what the legislators started to recognize after spending down savings, that that was not going to be sustainable, and we had to find a different source of revenue, and that's when we passed SB 26, which created a percentage of percent of market value. And quickly, that percent of market value is a 5.25% draw. Looking back again at 6 years and using the most recent five for the draw. And the last projections I saw is that that is continued to be our main source of revenue for foreseeable future, 10 years out. That will continue. So that's where we are at today. And so it's a combination of using part of that earned reserve plus the royalties that we still, the other dividends, payments, resource, or revenues that we bring in from various sources. Are we on to slide two here? Okay. So these three bar charts, believe me, I had to have them explained to me numerous times, but really what they're saying, if you take the full length of the bar from start to stop, is our total revenue in the state. You see at the top, it's about $5.27 billion. That's our total revenue. So the very first bottom bar in the blue, what that's telling you is that we could provide the same level of services as FY19 management plan or FY18 actuals, not too much difference. Same level services we've been accustomed to and have about $400 million left, which results in about a $630 permanent fund dividend. That's not borrowing anything from savings. That's no deficit spending. That's a balanced budget, and that's a $630 dividend. That's what the first bar shows you. What the second bar shows you is that if we had a $600 million reduction in services or expenses, however you want to phrase it, and plus the $400 million we had left over, you could theoretically get a $1,600 dividend. And that's with about a $600 million in cuts to services or efficiencies or however we may find that. And then the very top bar, again, is showing you somewhat more of the governor's plan, where your total revenue still across there, but it takes about $1.5 billion in cuts in services and the $400 million we had, and that gets you to your $3,000 dividend. So, you know, we don't disagree with the governor that you have to start matching revenues with expenditures. What we disagree with him about is how do you get there? You know, we know it's not sustainable what we're doing. We think his method for getting there is devastating. It decimates our economies and our communities. And there's no analytical approach to this fix, no step-down approach to it. And that's where we're different. But so you've all heard of the proposed cuts to education, university, senior benefit programs, everything else that we do. That's all part of that $1.5 billion reduction. It eliminates the Alaska Marine Highway System. And I need to note on there's a sheet that's handed out that talks about just the impacts of the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And on that sheet, it talks about the Kenai College. That sheet was mostly put together by Alaska Municipal League, their analysis of the impacts to municipalities. Somehow language got on there that says the Kenai College would close. That's simply not true. We have no idea what the university system will decide to do if they were to absorb that $130 million in cuts. So that, I want you to ignore that. Don't call Gary Turner tomorrow wondering what's going on with the college, because that's simply not going to happen at this point. It is proposed that they go back to the community college type model. I don't know what services would be lost at that point to do that, but I want to note that. So that's what that top graph represents. And then the very third slide here is showing the $3,000 dividend graph on the far right. It takes you to about $1.9 billion. That's what it takes to pay out that amount of dividend, $1.9 billion. The chart on the left shows you only in UGF dollars, unrestricted general fund dollars, is all that represents. And that is where them proposed funds would come from to get to that $3,000 dividend. And so you can see that the biggest thing at the bottom is the black section there, where it talks about cost shift to local government. So what's important for communities to know is how that impacts you. So there's about $420 million raised by taking the local property taxes. That's the repeal of the 4356 oil and gas properties. The $68 million cut to the school bond debt reimbursement, that number is actually much higher. That's just UGF dollars. There's other dollars that go towards that. So that's really over $100 million in impacts. And then about $28 million in taking local fish landing tax, business tax on the fisheries. And I can tell you that the city of Kenai has put together impacts to their city by that repeal. And I think the borough has probably worked on some of that. So the local governments, local municipalities got a lot better feel on the impacts to them changes. But one thing to say about that, it definitely affects each and every one of you. The next one up there, the spending reserves, the orange one, $250 million taken out of ADA. That's a savings account ADA has. They're proposing to pull that. $254 million there. The next one, the health and social services. I hate to speak to that one too much because Representative Johnson chairs that committee, and she knows it better than most of us. But the fact of the matter is that unless you have a policy change, you can't just take that money, because as our legislative finance director told Senate Finance last year, he says it makes no difference what you appropriate. If they have it coming, you're going to pay that bill whether you do it now or do it in a supplemental next year. So I know this administration has applied to a Center for Medicare, Medicaid for some waivers. We don't know if we're going to get them waivers or when. And so that's about all I want to speak to that particular issue, because Rep. Johnson is intimately familiar with it. And I know she'll correct me if I get too far off track there. So it may or may not be a cut. We just don't know at this point what they'll do for us. Obviously, you've seen the education cuts there, $309 million proposed, mostly from K-12, also removes Head Start in the WAMI program. One of the things when we talk about them numbers and the impacts is that these are UGF dollars, direct impacts, but we don't talk about the federal dollars you give up, the agency receipts, and the local contributions to that. So the numbers are truly much higher. And they never talk about the social impacts to the jobs lost, the teachers that move, and that type of thing. A perfect example is if the wing of Wildwood was closed as proposed, that's 46 jobs, millions of dollars in payroll, and families that would actually end up moving and leaving the economy. So I won't belittle that stuff too much, but the point is there's a lot of other things to consider in these cuts. And the one thing, so you can read the chart going on up there. There's $134 million proposed to come from the university. These are all UGF dollars. And again, there's $64 million from the Alaska Marine Highway System, which theoretically puts that out of business. It's scheduled to end service September 30th, I believe. It's got probably small impacts fiscally to the borough, but it does have strong impacts when it comes to Homer, Seldovia, Port Graham, English Bay, Valdez, Cordova, Whittier, because that's where we utilize that ferry system a lot. Anybody who likes to get on at Whittier, go to Bellingham, no longer have that option. And then, of course, the rest of that is the remaining funds and PFDs. Them are UGF dollars that would make up your differences on that. So that's kind of what we wanted to show you, what we wanted to talk about. I think that gets us through the slide. And because we have so many people here tonight, and the purpose of this was to take public testimony, we're going to get right into that. I've got the sign-up sheets here, and I'm just going to call your name and have the first three gather at the table. Actually, I'm going to call the first eight. Maybe I can get the next five to just come right up to the chairs. So we are strictly talking about the budget, the proposals, where they're at, our revenues, our fiscal plan. We're looking for your feedback, your ideas, your thoughts. I do want to mention that there is this sheet you all have was put together, little chart at the top and some language in there. That was primarily put together by Alaska Municipal League. It was their analysis of the impacts to municipalities and boroughs. We just provided that for your information, mainly Kenai's impact, not all of them. So we want you to have that, and then we want to encourage you to get with all your local officials, whether it's city or borough, finance people, to gauge the impacts to you as a community, what that would mean. So with that, I'm going to move on down here and get our people coming up here. Thank you. Okay, that thing's still on. Okay, Christine Hutchinson, would you be the first to the table, please? And then after Christine, we have Bob Haar. Actually, let me call Sherry. No, actually, Sherry didn't sign up, but Bob did. Bob, will you come up, join Christine at the table? I thought I put Sherry in the hot seat there, Bob, but she did. She didn't want to. And then Mr. Turner, Gary Turner, would you please join them at the table? And then George Pierce, take the first chair right behind these three, please. And then, is it Leslie Rohr? Do I have that correct?
Yes.
Please, Leslie, just right next to George there, if you would. And then Dave Jones. Gary, you're up. They might have crowded out. That's good. Dave Jones, you'll be up here on cue next. And then Ed Oberts up here next to Dave, and I think that'll fill up our spots. And Christine, please, you'll have 3 minutes, ma'am, and if you would just put your name on the record for us.
Hi, my name is Christine Hutchison. I live in Juliuson Street in Kenai, Alaska. I believe because we have such limited personal property opportunities, ownership and opportunities in the state of Alaska, the permanent fund belongs to the people. It does not belong to the legislature to bail them out of their poor judgments of the past however many years. And so I believe that money is separate. I also believe the legislature committed a felony, I believe, by appropriating those monies inappropriately. They should go to the public in compensation for our failure to own, be able to own private property. This federal government owns the majority and the natives own the rest of it, which is not taxable. Now, if the legislature would do something about this being a federal national park, then we could have a little more opportunities with our resources. My issue on the budget is the swimming pool. I go there 3 times a week, and in the meantime, between now and the 1st of July, I'm going to get every drop out of that pool I can, because I'm going to be creative on the 2nd of July and make other plans, because I can't afford to have a pool operating for me. Two people were there Wednesday. I can't afford that. So I'm going to give that up and stay at home and use a treadmill. Now, I'm sure there's other places people want to have their ministry local so they can go ahead and go right down the street to Wildwood and do their ministry there. Well, maybe their ministry can't be that close. I'm sorry. Maybe they can just go to Arizona and do their ministry. So I also believe that when the taxes and the services are pushed down to the local people, they know what they're paying for and they know what they're getting. One of the things I don't need is a university chancellor on every corner. The $500,000 university chancellor, where was he when they lost their accreditation in the School of Education? But now we need to give them more money, and they can't even provide us, kick us out a teacher. I'm disappointed on my return in investment there. And I don't know how much time I have left, but I would like to see the legislature operate within the revenue and without committing further crime by taking what isn't theirs of the permanent fund. It can be done, and you can all step up there. This ferry system, we'd support 70% of it. You got one person traveling on a ferry? Hello, what are we thinking here? I mean, I understand it's the economy for those people getting around down there, but they know that when they live there. That's the same whether you're in Bethel or Dillingham or Kenai, Alaska. It's 150 miles to drive to Anchorage. You don't have a boat to float around between the islands. Take an airplane. So I'm in favor of supporting the Dunleavy's budget to the letter and leave the permanent fund alone because it doesn't belong to you. Thank you very much, and I hope you guys do the right thing.
Thank you, Ms. Hutchinson. Okay. I can't. Can we take a quick break, address some audio issues here, see what we can. Said they're getting some really bad feedback over here. Yeah. I thought that the problem is it was advertised as tree. That's the problem. It's advertised in the writing as tree. It was announced as tree, and two would have been fine by me, but.
You might have to cut it down.
We'll see. But they're not all signed up to speak, yeah. You know, and that's, we'll see how well it goes for us here. They said that they mute the computer or something that's feeding back to you. I thought Emery was heading off to fix it.
Okay, maybe she's calling.
Okay.
But I think it's from Juno.
Mr. Hart, let's go ahead and go and see if we can. And I just need to put your name on the record for me, please.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Representative Knopp. As he said, my name is Robert Hart. I live in Kosilov, Alaska. I'm actually for Governor Dunleavy's budget as well, and I maybe not in its entirety, but I believe we need to do a little trimming as well. However, I'd like to see legislation adopted to allow, give more allowances to cost-saving innovation whenever it comes to the ADOT. We need to take a good look at some of that because there are, currently are no allowances, and just for cost-saving innovation alone, just on the Sterling Highway here, I did the math, we could have saved over $10 million. I know that to be a fact. I do stuff all over the world with my developments that I do. Also, I believe we need to bring in additional revenues here to the state, manufacturing one thing another, develop potentially some incentives where it's a taxable industry that can be promoted throughout the entire world, not only just here in Alaska. So there's other avenues if we can get some additional support for manufacturers and people who want to bring cost-saving innovation to the state. That would be tremendous to this state. So I would like to see if we could possibly do something like that.
Okay.
Oh, last thing is I'm hoping that the Kenai Peninsula College will stay in its state right now, maybe go into a community type of university. That would be good. I'm currently working with them because I'm trying to attempt to bring 390 districts of engineers here to the state for stormwater management that will induce a lot of money to our Kenai Peninsula borough. Well, I'm currently working on that right now. And we have to have that for licensing per state for every state in the entire United States. So I hope we can maintain our local public college.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hart.
Yep.
Mr. Turner, please.
Yes, I'm Gary Turner, 215 Riverwatch Drive, Soldotna, Alaska. Speaker Edgman, Representative Knopp, Representative Johnston, and Representative Carpenter on the TV, thanks for providing me the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I've been the director of Kenai Peninsula College for 17 years. We have a Kenai River campus in Soldotna, a Kachemak Bay campus in Homer, and a Resurrection Bay extension site in Seward. While we hope the 41% cut to the university will not be supported by the House or Senate, a number of UA employees are realizing that they need to start making their decisions to leave or stay sooner rather than later. Some of these employees have young families, and their decision to look for other jobs is not just based on the potential of cuts to the University of Alaska, but also to K-12 and other services supported by the state, including funding for the municipalities. In January, I was prepared to make employment offers to a new math professor and an English professor. These positions had been vacated due to retirements. Once the budget was released, I informed the candidates by phone that we would not be proceeding due to the looming budget cuts. I didn't want to make them offers in January and then call them up in June and say, sorry, I was just kidding. As a result of this, KPC will likely not be able to meet the demand for English and math classes starting this fall. We are extremely proud of what KPC has accomplished over the years, particularly when you consider we've had to cut our budget by about $2 million over the last 5 years. That's a huge dent for a small college, but we have persevered. We are now cut to the bone. More cuts will cut into the marrow, and we're going to start losing limbs. I ask that you think of these things as you debate the budget. Your constituents across the state deserve a first-class university. With your help and belief in your university, we will continue to provide a quality education for the next 100 years. That should be a legacy we all aspire to, because we don't want future generations saying, "How could they have let this happen?" Thank you for listening and your service to our state. I have a KPC lapel pin for each of you to show our appreciation for your visit that we give to all visiting dignitaries. Permission to approach?
Please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, good. Got it. Thank you. Okay, we're a little out of sync there, Mr. Olberts, but we're going to go with it. If I get Barbara Blakely and who's after Barbara? Mr. Brown, Ken? You just a couple empty chairs up there. Miss Rohr, you'll go next. Right after Mr. Olberts will go, then we'll get you up there. Go ahead, Ed, put your name on the record for me.
Yeah, my name is Ed Oberts. I live here in Soldotna. I was actually born here in Soldotna. Grew up on my dad's homestead in Sterling. I've seen a lot of change here on the Kenai. My mom taught at a log cabin that was a one-room school out in Sterling. The community provided the building, the community provided the heat and the electric, and the state paid for her wages. Since then, obviously, things have changed drastically. The cost of education, in my opinion, has gotten out of control, especially when you take in results-oriented education. The amount of money per student that we spend is unsustainable, unrealistic, and like twice the national average. Something has to change. In the earlier presentation, Representative Knopp mentioned that this deficit started in 2013. The legislature as a whole, the state as a whole, spent billions of dollars each of those years filling the gap out of savings. What did you do to cut the budget? Something has to be done. The governor has brought forward a budget that is balanced, that gives you an opportunity to try to make changes. But we've got to change the dynamic in Alaska. We cannot afford to keep spending like this. Not only are you going to take the PFD, but it's just a matter of time, and you'll get into the corpus of the permanent fund, because that's human nature. You cannot stop saying, it's hard for legislators to say no, and just look at the history in Alaska. I'm also a little unique in that I've attended the University of Alaska Fairbanks, the University of Alaska Juneau, the Kenai Peninsula Community College when it was a community college. And let me say, I got better education at our local community college than I did at the university level. Better classroom instruction, and I felt that the school was concentrated on trying to help the student. When I was in Fairbanks, we were in cold, dark classrooms that had been there forever. What did the university do? Build a beautiful, nice administration building. I was recently in Fairbanks for a conference, and I got to tour the new museum up there. Beautiful, beautiful building, but ungodly expensive to build. We shouldn't be building things like that when we don't have the resources. We should be putting the money into the classroom, helping the students. I support the governor's budget. I support the cuts. And here on the local level, I'm willing to step up if necessary to pay taxes to fill in the difference. But we're going to really take a hard look on where our money's going. And I support a full PFD according to the law. You didn't change the law. You just chose not to fund it. I think that's wrong. And I expect a full PFD this year.
Thank you, Ms. Gilbert.
My name is Leslie Rohr. I'm the executive director of Love in the Name of Christ and the chair of the Kenai Peninsula Continuum of Care. I want to thank you for the opportunity to present to you tonight. And I'm not in favor of Governor Dunleavy's budget cuts. I do agree that our state needs to do something about our spending habits, but cutting vital programs to our most vulnerable populations is not healthy. On the Kenai Peninsula alone, through Alaska Housing Finance Administration cuts, 7 agencies will be affected to the tune of $634,000. Those cuts will decrease or completely eliminate homeless prevention and permanent housing placement programs that are in place. Love Inc. alone last year saw 2,792 people, residents of the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Homeless prevention, 62 families, 50 landlords received payment. Housing placement, 57 families, 41 landlords received payment. We paid Alaska Oil Sales for people's heating oil, NSTAR, HEA to the tune of $32,000, emergency lodging for 10 families, supportive services, plus the Love Inc. operating and administrative expenses, the Love Inc. payroll. We will lose 1 full-time, 1 3/4-time, and 4 half-time positions with this budget cut. The trickle down is that we will still have the 504 unduplicated homeless people that came through our doors last year, and we will have no ability to house them. And with Medicaid cuts, cuts to the mental health services, cuts to our school, all we're doing is disintegrating our hopes of having strong family, strong communities. And while I do support that we need to have a balanced budget, I believe there are other ways to come about that. And I, for one, am willing to give up my PFD, pay a state income tax. There are many other resources that are available so that we don't completely decimate services that are needed by our vulnerable populations.
Thank you, Ms. Rohr. Thank you.
My name is George Pierce. I'm from Kusilov, Alaska. I'm here to talk about the budget and the PFD. I want my PFD, all of it, not just part of the whole thing. And on the budget, I agree with some of these cuts, but it's too much at one time. You know, he's got a good idea with these cuts. There's a whole lot of cuts I can see. In fact, most of the Kenai Peninsula voted 2-1 for Dunleavy and giving back the PFD and making cuts to an enormous budget. The legislator Scott is here. And you're asking the people to bail you out of what we're in. I've heard the town hall meeting in Juneau last night. It was packed. 3 rooms full of people. A lot of them didn't want cuts. Some wanted cuts. 2/3 wanted to address oil taxes and corporations to pay their fair share and an income tax, what we need. You're not talking any revenue source of any kind here. And I keep hearing you can't afford to pay our PFD, but you can afford to pay the oil industry $1 billion+ a year for developing our resources. You got way too many subsidies for these oil companies. You need to cut them. You don't cut none of them, you're not doing anything to them. Let's see. I've heard all the cuts to the people, no cuts to you or the governor. How about $1 million tax? We are number 4 in millionaires out of 50 states. Start with the least effective. 3/4 of our PFD was put in an account, and none of you are even offering to pay that to the people. We want all of our money. And you do need cuts. I see a whole lot of cuts. Stop funding nonprofits. You people pay nonprofits. It's nowhere in the Constitution to fund nonprofits. That's a big waste right there, in my opinion. So look at some other cuts somewhere else besides on the backs of all of us. Your per diems, your staff, cut your staff in half. I mean, there's other cuts other than knowing me, and that's what you're doing. I know you. It's like you get to choose a PFD or a cut. Well, I want the PFD and no cuts. So thank you guys for coming up here, and I appreciate a town hall meeting like this instead of some off-the-wall rhetoric. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Mr. Jones. Yes.
Speaker Edgman, Vice Chair Johnson, Representative Knopp, and Representative Carpenter, thank you for making yourselves available on Saturday night to receive testimony on our budget. I think it's very important that we do that. My name is Dave Jones. I live at the end of the road out north of Sterling. I'm here tonight. Whenever I speak, I work for the school district. I'm the assistant superintendent of the school district. I'm in charge of the finance and the budget, and I speak a lot on that. Tonight, though, I have come to speak as a resident of the state of Alaska. I've lived here for 22 years now. I handed Mr. Knopp a copy of an article to share with both of you. And the reason that I did that was because tonight's not the first night that I've testified in front of House Finance. It's a story here from March 22nd, 2002, just 17 years ago. And the story talks about how the legislature is hearing from people across the state on the budget and what happens when you only have oil as one source of revenue. And if you look on the back of the page, I think that's my younger brother, or maybe it was me, okay? But I was testifying there, and what I was testifying, the reason I was testifying there was because at the time I lived in Kodiak, Alaska, I had three kids that were in the school system. And Kodiak was at the cap for what they could provide for education. I wanted more for my kids, but I had no ability to pay a state tax to provide more for my kids. I also testified that I received services from the highway system, from the ferry system, from the protection of the troopers. All of those things that I testified that I received, I wasn't paying for, and I shared that my grandfather was my father figure in life, and he taught me that you needed to grow up and be a positive contributor to your community, and you need to be willing to pay for the services that you receive. I would like to pay for the services I receive, but we don't have the ability as individual citizens in the state of Alaska to pay a state tax unless you're a fisherman. You can pay a fishing tax. As I stated, at that point in time, I had three kids in the state of Alaska. 17 years later, and I have zero kids in the state of Alaska. And I have zero kids in the state of Alaska because we don't have a fiscal plan that has a diversified revenue stream that can support an economy that my kids can depend upon to have jobs and positions. So I'm here 17 years later to ask you to do the same thing that I asked you 17 years ago. Please take my wake-up money. Okay? What's my wake-up money? That's my permanent fund dividend. Because what I do to earn that is I wake up about 360-some days a year, okay? I've recently started to wonder if I would go back to sleep in the morning and wake up a second time, could I get two? Okay? Please take that. I think we need to pay for the services that people are realizing that. I'm still willing to pay an income tax because we have people that are working on the North Slope and people that are working in fishing boats, and they're making money in this state that they're taking back out of the state, and an income tax would address that.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. So, I get you to wrap up, please.
Yep.
Ms. Blakely, if you just give me just a minute, I want to put some people on notice here. Catherine Fitzgerald, please come up, take a seat, ma'am. You'll be right after Ms. Blakely. And who we got after that? We're going to go right down to Betty Wittenberg. Betty, please come up and just, that's fine, Catherine. As soon as Betty, and then we'll be right with you.